Welcome to the O Woman Podcast, where we discuss, so many things related to women's sexuality, bodies, thoughts, and lives. We'll talk about everything from our relationships to our orgasms to our children and our ovaries, and we'll share outstanding experiences and ordinary ones. I'm Emma, and a big open welcome to you. Thanks for joining me for the show today. This is episode 82 of the O Woman Podcast. And today we're going to talk about a couple things that maybe you didn't know about penises or dicks or wieners, whatever you want to call them. But I thought that we'd spent a lot of different episodes talking about women's bodies or female bodies, female body parts, the biology of that. I wanted to spend a little bit of time talking about male bodies too, because in so many cases, women out there, you love penises, or you love people that are attached to them. So it'd be nice to learn a little bit more than what we knew before, because many of you have touched them and done stuff with them, but maybe you didn't know some of these little known facts about penises. So this episode is a discussion of an article that I found on healthywomen.org, and I thought it was, at first I thought it was maybe going to be kind of a joke, like maybe the little known facts would actually be well known facts. But a lot of them I thought were things that I either didn't know or I had forgotten. And so they're not things that we think of in the everyday life when we think about penises. So the first thing that the article mentions, and there's a link to the article in the body of this post on the website, is that fetuses and also newborn infants, but particularly the interesting part is fetuses get erections. Now, that's probably shocking to you. You're thinking, that doesn't make sense. My purely innocent unborn child can't get an erection. But you'd be wrong. He totally can. You know, there's a lot of different reasons why. It's, you know, they're mostly pretty basic. He's not thinking sexy thoughts. It has to do with blood flow and the formation of, you know, the body growing over time and stuff like that. Another thing is that you can't really make size assumptions, by looking at a guy when he's just kind of standing around and not turned on. So really what I'm saying is there's not a proven correlation at this point, between the size and the shape of the flaccid penis and the size of the erect penis, which I feel like is a common myth, because I feel like a lot of women think, you know, his penis is this big when he's just standing around. How big is it going to get when he gets turned on? Those definitely are not always related, or even often related. It's kind of a toss-up. You never know what you're going to get. And that kind of goes back to that kind of classic saying, you've probably heard it, or the classic question, is he a grower or a shower? So what that means is, if he's a shower, that means his not hard penis is kind of big. So you're thinking, maybe the hard one will be big too. And maybe it is, but it's not going to grow to the same proportion as someone who is a grower, which means they have a smaller penis when their penis is flaccid. And then it grows a whole lot and becomes the size of the penis that it is. So it's really interesting, because men can have, you know, medium-sized flaccid penises and just medium to large-sized penises, or they can have really small flaccid penises or really big penises. There's, you know, it's really interesting. It's very unique and very individual, just like women's bodies. Our different, our vulva look different, all of them. They're different colors, different shapes, different sizes. Our boobs, our nipples, all these things. So it's the same kind of thing. You can't necessarily judge the book by its cover in this case. So I thought that was something that was really cool to note. Think about that in your own life and see if that applies. Another thing that I think is really nice to know, thinking about having sex with your partner, if your partner is a guy and has a penis, is that the underside of the penis is the most sensitive. They polled men and they asked, and they said that the underside of the shaft and the underside of the head was actually more sensitive than the other parts of the penis. And I had heard that before, and so that was nice to hear that, because I'm not sure if it's really part of a discussion generally for women to talk about which part of the penis the guy likes the best, because I think the mindset is, I mean, come on, you're touching his penis. Isn't that like, come on, of course he's going to like it. Isn't that good enough? You know, Of course he's going to like it. Guys just like that anyway. But, I mean, of course, if you like him and he likes you and that's what you plan to do, he's going to like it. But it's nice to have some extra tricks up your sleeve when you're thinking about foreplay or oral sex or anything like that, just to kind of have that fact in mind. Another thing that I feel like is kind of a more common understanding, we know this, is that shrinkage is real, but it's more real than even we realize. So penis shrinkage is, of course, real when it comes to temperatures. And the reason for that is pretty obvious. If it's really hot out, a guy is unlikely going to have shrunken penis and shrunken balls. But if it's really cold, you know, or if he gets a chill, that might happen. And that's just kind of his body saying, oh, keep these things safe, keep these things warm, let's pull them closer to my body heat. But beyond that, there's other reasons why a guy's penis can shrink, and that's actually more long-term or final. Like smoking, for example, it can decrease the length of your penis by up to like a centimeter, which I was surprised to learn. I didn't know that before. And the reason for that is a lot of smoking. I think periodic smoking isn't part of it. I think, you know, a lot of smoking, chain smoking, smoking for a long time in your life. It calcifies some of the blood vessels in your whole body, but in that area, which makes an erection harder to actually come by, and not all of the blood vessels do what they're supposed to do when an erection happens, so they're not all engorged. So the size is going to actually be a little bit smaller. Also, something that I was surprised to know is that there's kind of a use it or lose it thing going on with penises. Men that don't get erections very often, they found that their penis size over time can shrink by a couple centimeters. If they're not, you know, using it, they might be losing it. This next fact is something that nobody really wants to hear, and especially men do not want to talk about. You know, there's been jokes about this in movies, and every time you see that, the guys in the room go, oh my God, it's just so, such a painful thing. But is the penises actually can break? And you're probably wondering how that's possible, because there's no bone in it. And when you think of something breaking, you think of breaking a bone. It's not, I guess, breaking in that same meaning, but they can break to another degree. So there's a membrane in them that's called the, let me see if I can pronounce this right, the tunica albuginea, or albuginea, which surrounds the kind of all that spongy tissue where all the blood flows to when they get turned on. And if you were to fall on an erect penis, or a woman potentially were to mash herself on top of an erect penis, or something really bad happened, or it was bent the wrong way in an extreme angle without, you know, being able to get out of that situation, it can tear that membrane, which then means that the blood that usually flows into the spongy area and can leak elsewhere in the body, you know, can leak out of that spongy area through the torn membrane and go elsewhere. So it's really kind of hard to maintain an erection, and also really, you know, hurts, and that's a big problem. Usually when that happens, I mean, it can be recovered from, but the guy might need to get stitches to actually seal the membrane again so that everything works properly, which is a pretty scary thing when you think about it. I know no woman would want to think about getting stitches up inside her vagina. It doesn't sound like an appealing thing at all. So of course a guy wouldn't like it either. So be careful. You know, it's not really easy to break a penis, but just make sure you're careful and you're listening to your partner if your partner's a guy, and you're stopping if something doesn't feel good, or if you're stopping if something hurts. Another thing that I think is a really cool fact, which kind of goes back to one of the episodes I did a long time ago about health and sex, is being hydrated. Like, your body needs a lot of water. You need to make sure you're drinking enough water. I said that because of women, making sure, you know, you're lubricated enough. That could have to do with your hydration levels. But also, when you think about it, same thing with men and their, you know, their semen. Because semen is really only 2% of the sperm. Maybe you already knew this, but it's sort of a surprising fact, because considering how potent sperm or semen smells and tastes. I mean, it's pretty like, whoa, that is in your face. A lot of the taste, you know, comes from the 2% of other material. So there's 2% sperm, 2% other stuff like proteins, minerals, enzymes, all these things. So you can really kind of tell what the guy's putting in his body. Especially if you've been with a partner for a long time, you might be able to taste a difference or smell a difference in his semen based on what he's eating or how healthy he is or that kind of thing. But the other 96% approximately is water. And our body is made up of so much water, and it makes sense that one of our important, you know, genetic liquids would be made up of water. Our blood is mostly water, you know, so think about that when you're thinking about health and hydrating. If you want your semen a little bit to go a long way, I would continue drinking water so that you've got the right ratio going on in there. Another interesting fact is that men's orgasms last an average, you know, you see different statistics all the time, but according to this article, men's orgasms last an average of 6 seconds versus a woman's last an average of 23 seconds. So that's a pretty big difference when you think about it. Men's orgasms seem short and sweet, and women seem kind of long and lovely. So that's a cool, interesting, that's an interesting thing when you're thinking about that too. Here, this next fact is kind of freaky, and I did not know this one. I kind of hope it isn't true, but I'm sure it is. Originally, humans, you know, way before we were actually humans, we had spines on our penises, kind of like a cat penis, if you've ever heard of that, which is kind of horrifying if you didn't know. Cat penises have, like, barbs on the sides. And one of the theories behind why cat penises have barbs on the sides is to kind of, like, stay locked in and make sure that, I feel as though I've heard that that kind of pain that goes with the sex kind of makes sure that, the egg and the sperm unite. There's some sort of bodily reaction to that. I don't know if that's the same reason that, humans had like spines or barbs on their penises, but we lost these obviously a long time ago. And apparently when we lost them was, even before Neanderthals and the modern humans kind of diverged from each other. So really before humans were humans in our opinion of what humans are. But that's a really interesting thing to think about. And one of the things, one of the reasons why scientists think that we have those barbs is because it would lead to faster erections. I don't know why that is. And more like higher promiscuity. And the reason they think that is because, for example, cats who have the barbs are pretty promiscuous, quote unquote, whatever that really means. That would be a really fun episode to do, is talking about what promiscuous actually means and what it looks like in the world today. But in species like cats that are considered fairly promiscuous, they have the barbs. So for that reason, they thought, oh, humans, you know, that must have been the reason why, to, you know, keep an erection, make sure humans are having sex with more people, increasing the chance of, you know, the gene pool continuing forward. Another fact that I think is really interesting, that I'm really glad to know, is the fact about circumcision, because circumcision, it honestly scares me, and I don't want my sons to be circumcised. Of course, that's a discussion I have to have with my husband, because it's his decision too, so that's something we need to talk about more. But it makes me nervous. I know their mistakes can happen, and when you're really teaching a boy how to take care of his penis, if you teach him how to take care of it, there's not really any higher incidence of disease and things like that. At least that's what I've learned from some of the you know, the readings and stuff I've done. But apparently, when you think about it, really only 30% of the 15 plus world population is circumcised. So when you think about that, that kind of points to the fact that it's not really that unsafe, obviously. I think we've kind of passed that myth of it being a lot cleaner. Sometimes it's done for religious reasons. Sometimes it's done for cultural reasons. 58% of newborn babies, of course, this is a statistic, so it might, you know, be a little bit off, but a lot more, obviously, a majority. 58% of babies born in the U.S. in hospitals are circumcised. So that's a big difference between the 30% in the world and about 60% in the U.S. So you can see how that kind of an activity or that kind of thing could be very cultural. So it, you know, it's worth questioning, it's worth wondering about. And I think that might be a really nice episode to do in the future. The concept of genital alteration and who gets to do that? Who gets to touch you before you make a decision? That's kind of where my issue with it lies, is I feel like I'm not really allowed to do that to my son until he gets to make the decision himself as his own, you know, agential human. So anyway, and the last big fact that I think is really cool, it's very sciencey to me. Of course, all this is very sciencey, but this in particular, I think it's really cool to learn about the hidden parts of bodies. And with men's bodies, you see the penis and the balls, and they're kind of out in the open, and they're enigmatic because you're thinking, how does it do what it does? But they're also kind of, straightforward and in your face, sometimes literally. So it's nice to know this last fact that a penis is, what you're seeing is really only half of what it is. It's double the size because one half of it, the same amount that you see, is inside. It runs deep inside of his body and it's kind of connected to his pubic bone area. So it's nice to know that males also have some sort of secret internal stuff going on, besides, you know, the semen hanging out in the balls. We already knew about that. But it's nice to know that there's a secret part to the penis. It makes it a little bit more exciting and a little bit more paralleled with female bodies, of course, because they're pieces of the same design, you know. So I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I really had a lot of fun talking about male bodies. I think that's really fun. We're going to have to do some more discussions on that because, of course, that's integrally related to women's bodies, just because we live in the world with men and then because a lot of women sleep with, marry, date, have sex with men. So it's nice to know these facts, especially if they're weird, some of them scary, but mostly just really fun. Thanks for listening as always. I encourage you to check out the website, awomanpodcast.com. And if you go to the episode archives tab, you're going to find all of the other 81 episodes you've missed. Some of them I've referenced today. Also, if you go to resources on bodies and sexuality, you're going to find a link to the article today as well as embedded in the body of the post. And check us out on Facebook, A Woman Podcast, as well as iTunes. Please subscribe, rate the episodes. That would be fantastic. Okay, love talking to you, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye.